All right, so let's take our Bible and stand. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And I'll be reading to you today from the NIV version. And that is the version made for guys like me. So it helps me understand. All right, so John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this. In the beginning was the Word. John loved to call Jesus the Word. He called him the Word over and over. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And then these four words are really where I want to spend the entire time today. And in him was life. And in him was life. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. And God, encourage us with your presence in Jesus' mighty name. And together, everyone said, amen, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today about the subject entitled life. Life. Now, what is life? What is life? We know that the dictionary defines life. We understand that life is the space in between your birth and your death. So we know that that is life. It is that space in between your birth and your death. But even more specifically, maybe more so of what I'm wanting to refer to today, is more about the experience that we have in between our birth and our death. Maybe you've heard the term the quality of life. That you enjoy. That is that referring to how good is it during the time that you are alive? Is it life the way that maybe you hoped it would be? Because see, everybody's experience is different. Everybody's life is different. And I'm talking about the experience that they have in between their birth and their death. And I'm afraid many of us live our entire lives, that space in between birth and death. Many of us live that entire space, and we never truly experience life in the way that God intended for you to experience it. We settle for some other version of life because so many people are living that version of life, and so we accept it as this is life. This is life. It's just life. This is how it is. It is just life instead of what God wanted for each and every one of us. Now, Richard Evans had a quote that maybe would encourage us today. He said, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. Someone once grouped the seven stages of life in this way. They said, first, when we're babies, you know, first there's spills. You got it, spills. Then there's drills, pills, or wait, thrills, bills, eels, pills, and then wheels. That's kind of life in a nutshell. That's the seven stages of life, how we experience it. But I believe that God doesn't just want us to experience life in that way. I really believe that God has something so much greater for every one of his children. So much greater for me and for you. And so I asked myself, what is the secret? What is the secret to experiencing the joy of life? What is the secret to experiencing the fulfillment that all of that life has to offer, the source of the abundant life? What is the secret? What is the source of life and life the way that God intended for it to be? And I think for us to find the secret, we have to go back to the beginning. And we see in John chapter 1, the verse that we opened with, we open by saying, in the beginning. In the beginning. And when we go back to the beginning, John said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, my question is, who is the Word? Or maybe what is the Word? Or probably it's both. who and what is the word. There is actually two parts to just that word that we must understand. And when we ask the question, who, maybe we'll start there with who is the word, John answers the question. Just a few verses later, this is verse 1 of chapter 1. In verse 14, he says, and the word, he said, the word, this same word, became flesh. He said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory and the glory of the one and only Son. Is there any doubt who the word is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Because the word, in the beginning was the word, it's capitalized. It's referring to somebody. And then he said, let me just take the guesswork out of it. Because in verse 14, and the word became flesh. The word took on flesh and he dwelt among us. And it is the one and only Son. There is no doubt that the word, the who part of the word is referring to Jesus. It is Jesus. And so when we hear that the word, we can go back to looking at the whole thing where in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. So Jesus was the word and Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. We know that to be true. And he was with God in the beginning and through him, through who? Jesus, all things were made. And without him, who? Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And in him, who? Jesus. This is repeating. And in Jesus was life. In Jesus was what? Life. What is the source of that life? What is the source of the life that was in Jesus? Well, you know what's so amazing and so wonderful? The source of life, he takes the guesswork out of it just like Jesus. He makes it so easy for us to understand if we'll only look. In John chapter 6, Jesus was speaking and Jesus said this. He said, the Spirit gives life. He said, let me just take the cookies and put them all the way down on the bottom shelf for you and for me, and let me tell you and make it really easy to understand. The Spirit of God in me gives life, and the flesh, this body, it counts for nothing. It's good for nothing. It wars against your spirit. It is the adversary of everything that is God. What we want, what I desire, my fulfillment, taking care of me, me first, is the opposite of what is him and our spirit, which says, deny yourself. It wars against us. Our spirit and our flesh, they war against one another. The flesh, it's good for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, now this is Jesus, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. They are full of the Spirit. The words I have spoken to you are full of the Spirit and life. And that literal one verse almost totally sums up what I want to give you today. But we see that in this, there is the word spirit. And this word spirit originally is the word in that he used was the word pneuma, which meant a fresh wind. It is literally the third person of the Trinity. It is the Spirit of God. It is the you've heard the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It is literally a fresh wind. It is his spirit. It blows like a wind. It is his spirit. It is the word pneuma. It is the word pneuma. Now, the old Hebrew word that they used was a name or word by the name of ruach. Ruach, it's the same meaning. They both mean the Spirit of God, but there is literal the pneuma and the ruach. Now, I want you to see in Ezekiel chapter 37. We've heard the story of the dry bones. Ezekiel, and he looked over the valley. It's a phenomenal story. You should read it, the entire thing, and just read all around it. It's amazing. And we'll kind of pick it apart and grab some of it for this illustration today. But the word ruach, remember, that's the Holy Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God. was referred to in this passage, and we want to see how it was. So Ezekiel stood over, he came across this valley, and there were bones everywhere, dead people, bones everywhere. And he looked over, and God spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophesy, or speak what I'm telling you to speak to those bones. Speak to those bones, and you tell those bones what I tell you to say. And in verse 5, here's what he says. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath. You know what that is? Ruach. It is that word, ruach. It is the spirit of God. I will make the spirit of God enter you. He's talking to these bones, and you will come to life. I will put breath, ruach, in you, and you will come to life. Verse 7 goes on to say, so I prophesied. Ezekiel did what he was told. I prophesied, and I heard this sound. I heard there was a noise, a rattling, a sound, and these bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them. But, let's pause right there, time out. So he's looking at these bones, and they're coming together. Like, that would freak me out. I mean, I know the Lord's already speaking to me, so it's already like supernatural area right there. But if dead bones start coming back together, and like moving around and rattling. Got to be honest. I may not be around to see it. I'd be terrified. But, so those bones are rattling around. And they're coming back together and sliding all around. And then flesh is starting, tendons. He's seeing all this. Can you imagine? It's unbelievable. He's seeing all this come together. But, when he got finished, they were laying there. And they looked normal. And from the outside, everything looked right. Now listen, there's a message here. On the outside, everything looked right, but they were still dead inside. On the outside, those bones looked fine because they had come back together. And the tendons were there and the skin was there and everything looked normal. And they were laying there. But he said, there was no spirit of God in them. There was no ruach in them. God had not breathed his spirit into them. And they had no life. They had no life. There's an undeniable connection that's happening. Let's read on. And then in verse 9, it says, and then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the Spirit of God. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. Tell the breath this, come, Spirit of God, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And then in verse 10, he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, the Spirit of God entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. Now they could stand, now they had life, and they were a vast army. When the Spirit of God entered into those bones, was when they came to life. There's a connection here. There's an undeniable connection that's taken place between God's spirit and life. There is an undeniable, we cannot deny that there is a connection between God's spirit and life. We cannot take away the life that God intended for us to live. We cannot separate it from his spirit. There is no separating. If we do not have his spirit, we will not have life. His spirit and life are connected. Now, I said at the beginning, I said that there were two parts. We answered the question who. The who part of the word was Jesus. We know that Jesus was the word, but we also know that there's a what part. Because when you look at the beginning verse, and it says, in the beginning was the word, and we see that, and we see the word was with God, and the word was God. The only problem is, when you look this word up, it says, it uses the word logos. And that term is defined as the literal sayings or the essential word of God. It is the literal words of God, the word of God. We know that Jesus is the word. He was the word made flesh. So quite simply, not only the who is Jesus, but the what is the word, the literal word of God. It is the literal words of God. And so Jesus said this. When we get to verse 4 of what John said, we say, in him was life. Well, now that we know that the Word is not only Jesus, but is also the Word of God, we can replace him and we can come back and we can say, in the Word of God was life. In his words, the literal sayings, the Word of God, and in his Word is life. You say, well, did Jesus validate this? Did Jesus testify to this, that this was also true? Well, of course he did. Literally in the same area that we were just in, when he said the Spirit gives life, that was John chapter 6. Well, Jesus is speaking in John chapter 6 again. A few verses later, he goes on and he said this. He said, I am the bread of life. Now listen, he freaked everybody out in this conversation. Jesus did say things, a lot of things, and still to this day, that go over our head because we can't comprehend all that he's saying. We can't fathom all that he's speaking of. But he said, I am the bread of life. So who or what is the bread of life? It is the Word of God. The Word of God. Remember, he was the Word made flesh. I am who is the Word of God, is the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He's referring to John 1:14, where he said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, it came down from heaven. And then Jesus said to them, I am telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Now, right there is where most everybody just checked out. Because the brother just said, if you don't eat me and drink my blood, you won't have life. And for most of us, we hear something like that, and it's like we can't even get past it to get to wherever, whatever he meant, I don't know, I'm done. I don't understand that scripture. I don't understand what that means. That's just the part of the scripture I just got to believe and trust. Thank the Lord. We just let it go. But when we really understand that he said, I am the bread of life, I am, who is he? He's the Word. When we really understand and we see that it's the Word, and he said we've got to eat of the Word, we've got to drink of the Word, and if we don't put the Word, what is he saying, Cameron? If we don't put this Word in our life, if we don't put this Word in our life, we will not have life in ourselves. There will be no life in you and in me if we do not have the Word. See, there is an undeniable connection, not just with the Spirit, not only and exclusively with the Spirit, but there is an undeniable word or connection between God's Word and life. See, the word life that he used there, it's the word Zoe, and that word literally means the absolute fullness of life, the blessed life. See, he is the Word. He is the bread of life. If we want to have life, if we want to eat of that life, we have to partake and participate and put his Word in us. We need his Spirit and his Word, and those two things are connected to life and life more abundantly. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said something that we need to look at, where he said, I have come that they may have life. That's that Zoe word, life to the fullest. He said, life to the fullest, and then an abundance of that life. I want to give you life to the fullest, and then an abundance where that life literally will never run out. That word abundantly, it means over and above, more than is necessary, exceeding abundantly. That's the kind of life that he wants for you. That's the kind of marriage that he wants you to experience. That's the kind of relationships that he wants you to experience. That's the kind of life that he has for every one of us. That's the type of church that he wants us to be a part of, a church that has life and life more abundantly, that where God says, I want to do over and above what you think. I want you to experience more than is necessary. I want to give you exceeding and abundantly. And I've heard that before, because in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he used that same terminology. And Paul said this, he said, now to him, Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I I could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. What power is at work in you and me? It is His Spirit and His Word that is working inside of you. And when His Spirit and His Word are at work inside of you, it causes Jesus to be able to do exceedingly and abundantly in your life. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think when we allow the Spirit and the Word to be at work in our lives. You see, there's life where the Spirit and the Word are present. There's life where the Spirit and the Word are present. See, this is an undeniable observation that according to God's Word, everywhere that the Spirit and the Word are present, there is life and life more abundantly, life to the fullest and more than you can contain of it. It is everything that you need. It is found in God's Spirit and His Word. The pursuit is not difficult. The search is not exhaustive. We search for His Spirit. We search for His Word. We take those and we put them into our life so that we might have life more abundantly. It is literally that simple, that it is God's Spirit and His Word. And when we place those things into our lives from the very beginning, it brought life. From the very beginning, the life was in the Word. It was in the literal words of God and in the Spirit of God. You see, there's life more abundantly when we access His Word and His Spirit. You know, many of you wonder what draws you to this church. You know, I've heard so many people say, I don't even like a big church. I didn't want to be a part of a big church. I just never liked a big church. I don't even like some of the things y'all are doing. There's just things I don't like, but I keep getting drawn back here. You know what that is? That is God's Spirit and His Word. It is His Spirit and His Word that's present, and there is life in this church. And I'm not talking about to the people. I'm not talking about the people, but I'm talking about the literal presence of God's Word, and God's Spirit is here. And where it's here, I want to be and you want to be. Many of you, you look around and you see people that have this overwhelmingly positive joy on their faces. You see them and you wonder, what is going on? Why? Why are they the way that they are? Why do they have so much joy and positivity? I know their life's not great. I know everything's not wonderful. And you say, what is it? It is the Spirit and the Word present. And it is giving them life and life more abundantly. And it supersedes the problems and worries and doubts and fears of your life. And it helps you to rise above those circumstances and access joy that is not your own. What is it? What is it that will bring you back to life? For many of us, we're like that valley of dry bones. We're dry and thirsty. Spiritually, we're dead. We're struggling. What do we need? We need His Word in our life. We need His Spirit in our life. You cannot live without both of them. They were both present in the beginning, and life was in them. We cannot duck it. We cannot change it. And see, if this is true, that life is where the Spirit and the Word are present, then the opposite must be true, and that is that life ends where the Spirit and the Word are not present. If this is true, we cannot deny that this is also true. Life ends where the Spirit and the Word are not present. If we take the Spirit and the Word away, life ends. There is no abundant life. There is not a life that God can do exceedingly abundantly above. He cannot do it in a life where the Spirit and the Word are not present. Life ends. There is no life. You say, Cameron, how can you say that? I can give you literal illustration in the life of Jesus. In John chapter 19, Jesus was hanging on the cross. It was the end of His life. The very end of His life. And in this passage of Scripture, we often say that the cross killed Jesus. I mean, maybe we make it even churchier and we say our sins nailed Jesus to the cross, and certainly he died for our sins. That is true. But none of that took his life. It could not take his life. Those things could not take his life. He had to give his life. You see, Jesus could not die. He had to give his life away. The verse says here in John chapter 19, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, everything that Scripture had foretold had been fulfilled, he said, "I thirst," so that would be fulfilled. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, now I highlighted, he said, and that's important, because until Jesus was finished speaking, until he had finished speaking, he could not die. You say, why? Because there was so much life in his words. There was so much life in the very word of God. You see, these were the very same lips that were there in the beginning that spoke everything into existence, that spoke life into everything. And as long as there was something coming out of that mouth, death could not come for him. Death could not come for him. Death had to stand back and say, I can't come for him. He's still speaking. He's still got something to say. I got to stand back. I got to wait. I can't come for him. He's got something else he wants to say. And if he had kept speaking, he'd have never died. But he said, it is finished. And he quit speaking. He was finished speaking. The word left him. You say, whoa, what happened after that? We said it is finished, and then look at this. And bowing his head, what happened next? He gave up his spirit. That word spirit's that word, pneuma. He gave up the life that was in him. The Spirit of God in him left him. He had quit speaking. The word left him, and then the Spirit of God left out of him. And when it left, when the word and the spirit were not present, his life ended. His life ended. Then death could come for him. And death did come. And see, the same is true for you and me. We're no different than Jesus. We're no better than Jesus. You see, if the word and the spirit are not present in your life, if the word and the spirit are not present in your life, see, there'll be no life in you. You'll be dead inside. Oh, it'll be like those bones. Everything will look okay from the outside. Everybody will look at you and say, yeah, everything looks okay. But you'll be dead on the inside. There'll be no life present, because see, we can fool everybody else around us, but we cannot fool God. You see, if you want life and life more abundantly, it can only be found in his word and in his spirit. We must pursue both. And as he said in John chapter 6, Jesus said that in my words, there is spirit and there is life. You see, if you don't have the spirit and the word of God in your marriage, there'll be no life. If you don't have the spirit and the word, in closing, if you don't have the spirit and the word present in your family, there'll be no life. If you don't have the Spirit and the Word present in this church, it will die. There'll be no life. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody else, but there's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of churches that aren't accomplishing something. And I can tell you that some of them may have the Word. The Word may be present. But you can't do it one without the other. You can't just have the word. You have to have the spirit. He must be lifted up. We must pursue and seek the presence of God. You say, Cameron, I know you're leading the worship and you're helping with the worship team. What? How do you pick songs? Every song that I pick out, every time I'm looking, Zach and I are getting together, we're looking through songs. What is number one? What attracts the Spirit of God? We say, what attracts the Spirit of God? What song attracts the Spirit of God? What song lifts up the Spirit of God? What is it that when we just sing, it just feels like God just shows up? I don't care if it's old. I don't care if it's new. I don't care what it is. I just want something that God shows up in a major way. If that happens, I know our pastor. He's going to give us the word. He's going to share it. I'm going to lift up the Spirit. He's going to be present. And then the word's going to be present. And you know what's going to happen? Life. Life. The church lives. People get saved. People get healed. People get restored, redeemed. That happens where the Spirit and the Word are present and working. But see, is He present and working in your life? I ask you, search your heart. Are you thirsty? You know, Jesus, He stood up in a group of people one time and He said, if anyone thirsts, if you're thirsty, come to Me and drink. Come to Me. Come to what? My Spirit and My Word. Come and just drink from Me. And then He said, and out of His heart, when you do that, when you drink from My Spirit and My Word and you just drink that in, He said, when you do that, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. An abundant supply of living water. Are you thirsty today? Are you dry? Is your marriage dry? Your relationships dry? Is your spirit life dry? Has it been a long, long time since you've ever really been in His presence? See, the Word of God and His Spirit, it's the secret. It's the source to life. You can have life much more, much greater than you've ever known. You just must pursue Him, because in Him is life.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make. And thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.